Is the 20th of July 2018. It is the 8th of Menachem Av, Tavshanayim Ches, and we are getting towards the end of Perek Chaf Vav, and there's a couple of things to add in towards the end of the Perek here that should suffice as we cover the Bechukosai, which is appropriate as we lead up to the as we lead up to Tisha B'Av. So in Pasuk Mem Aleph in verse 41, he says Afani. Well, actually, let's go. Yeah, gotta go to understanding. One gotta go back one pasuk, the pasuk mem, where it says v'isvadu es avunam yes avunav. Some of malu asher malu vivi af asher halchu imi bekeri. So the pasuk there says that yeah, then you're going to confess your sins, and then your forefather for all the bad things that you did, and you betrayed me, and also for having behaved towards me with casualness, right? That so you're going to go ahead and do tshuva. So what would I expect the next pasuk to be? So wonderful, so you're going to go back to Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to build the second base of Mish, everything's going to be great. But that's not what the next pasuk says. The next pasuk then says, Afani lechi mem bekeri. So I'm going to treat you with casualness. I'll bring you to the land of your enemies. O azi kano levavam harel v'az yirtzu es avunam. Right, and then the unfeeling heart will be humbled, and then they will gain appeasement for their sins. So, and then it says, "It was a heartiest brisi Yaakov, v'afes brisi Yitzchak, v'afes brisi Avram." Eskor v'aratzeskor. And then I'll remember the bris, the pact with Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Avram. So the Ramban or the Rishonim turn around and say, "Whoa, wait a second here. What happened here?" Right? Pasuk Mem talks about them doing vidui. He talks about them attempting to repent for their sins. Pasuk Mem Aleph then says, and Hashem says, "I'm going to punish you." And then in Bez, I'll remember the bris. I'll remember the pact that I had with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So all three of those psukim don't seem to work with one another, right? If you're doing tshuva, you shouldn't need the bris. And if you're doing tshuva, why is Hashem then sending you to the land of your enemies, seemingly in terms of the Seder Hadvarim, in terms of the order of things, seemingly after you've already done tshuva, right? Bruce, you see the question? See those the order of the psukim there seems difficult to get. So the Ramban raises this question. Ramban says, he says, "V'hine, yeah." So he says, "Yeah." So first, the Sforno just simply says, "I see here." The Sforno says, "V'svadu esavunam tzasam," meaning some of you will do tshuva. Who are those some of them? Well, people like Daniel, Ezra, Vizulasam. People like them, right? So those people that have books named after them, right? So they'll do tshuva. And that will then be enough to allow you to go back to Kishachazu B'nei, that you're going to go back to the land of your enemies. Who are the land of your enemies? So it's not, so you normally think, oh, I'll bring you to the land of your enemies, meaning to the land of Persia, to the land of Bavel, to the land of, right, to wherever you're going. So says the Sforno, no, land of your enemies is referring to Eretz Yisrael. So his order is, who's in Eretz Yisrael right now? So Eretz Yisrael is under the dominion, not the Canaanites, well, I guess right now in the Torah it is, but when Bnei Yisrael went back after the destruction of the first base of Mikdash in order to build the second base of Mikdash, so who was in charge of the land? So it was under the Persians. Right, Koresh had given them permission, but then he took away permission, and it was difficult, and there were people that weren't happy with it, and there were lobbyists, and there was hard money, and there was a deep state, and it was very hard to be able to actually get that thing built. It took a very long time to get it built, because they were constantly harassed from the people that were there. So the Sforno reads the Pesukim as, you're going to do Vidui, some of you will do Vidui, it's not going to be a full nationwide Shiva, but some of you will do Vidui. Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, they'll do Vidui, Bnei Yisrael will get a chance to go back. They'll go back to a land that's going to be difficult, because Koresh is going to give them permission to go to a land, but it's going to be difficult for them to do. And then Hashem says, but I'll remember the bris, I'll remember the pact, and then you'll be able to go ahead and build the second base of Mikdash. Yeah.
Who is Koresh?
Koresh was the Cyrus, King Cyrus, the one who permitted them to go back and build the second base of Mikdash. Rabbi Rakefet, Aaron Rakefet and his shirim has lately come to refer to our president as Donald K. Trump. Donald Koresh Trump,
right,
the embassy. Yeah, the famous story with Truman also, that when Rabbi Herzog went to visit Truman, to visit President Truman after he recognized Israel as a state, so Herzog said to him, you know, you are Koresh, and the State Department guys kind of snickered in the back of the room, and that was when, you know, Truman got a Sefer Torah. It was that visit, I believe. So when he presented him with a Sefer Torah, so he told President Truman, no, you're Koresh. And everybody else snickered, like the State Department people were like, oh, come on, this rabbi is a little, whatever. And Truman, like, got very emotional. He's like, yeah, like, I am Koresh, yeah. All right, anyways, yeah.
Was it Darius?
Daryavish came later. Koresh was the one who gave the initial permission. And then they weren't able... Daryavish came after and allowed them to actually build the Beis HaMikdash. It actually got built under Daryavish's reign.
He was the son of Esther.
Daryavish is the son of Esther. So there's Achashverosh is in the middle, but these names all sort of get right. Some of these names might be the same people, but the understanding is Daryavish. I think we have. There is a read when we learned Ezra and Nehemiah in Shul, so we came up with a read that it follows the order of Koresh, Achashverosh, Daryavish. Daryavish is the son. One could read the beginning of Nehemiah. There is a pasuk where they come, Nehemiah comes to tell him how difficult it is. There are already people there, but we haven't been able to build the base of Migdash that's supposed to be built because it's been very difficult. And the pasuk describes the old woman there encourages him to listen. So who's the old woman? So the Arma Forshim that say understand that it's Esther. That Esther is who meaning because Esther was married to Achashverosh. So we everybody's thrilled, and then life goes on. So life goes on. You still have Esther is married to Achashverosh.
Right.
So Esther remains married to Achashverosh, and they have a child. So that child is Daryavish.
Right.
So technically Daryavish is Jewish. In fact, that means that there is a non-observant Jewish king that has dominion over the land of Israel. Right, that's what's going on there. So some use that as an understanding that just that had the status of a Malchus Yisrael, even though the one ultimately ruling the land was a non-Torah observant Jew. So today there are Jews that are overseeing the land, even though they may not be observant. Yeah. Okay. So. So, anyways, that is the Sforno's read, but the Ramban's read is a little bit different. First, the Ramban points out, I would have skipped straight from Pasuk Mem to Pasuk Mem Beis, right? We did Vidoy, and Hashem remembers the Bris. So, what happens in the middle? What's the reason in the middle of Evesiu Sam Beretz Oyvehem? Achshav Makom Hazevein Atazman Sheigalu Osam Vyavim Beretz Oyvehem. Here in this place, this is not the time that they should now have a galus. I mean, as soon as Bnei Yisrael is doing tshuva, why is Hashem sending them off into some type of galus? So he quotes the Ibn Ezra. It seems like this tshuva is somewhat incomplete. I mean, the tshuva is only because things are so difficult for us, so therefore they're doing tshuva. But not necessarily that that tshuva is totally acceptable. How does he read this here? The reason mentions this here is because they will have confessed their sin is because I was the one who brought it about for them. They're in the land of the enemy. Meaning he's describing why they did the vidui. I mean, this pasuk is pasuk mem they're going to do vidui. Why do they do vidui? Because I brought them into this difficult land. But then I'll remember the pact. So, I mean, Ibn Ezra is reading it as interpretive. Mem Aleph is interpreting Pasuk Mem. But then the Ramban comes on and says, "Val daiti yirmos ki achar avidu yelechimam bekeruv yaviu sam od beres oyveim ad sheichnu l'bavel livavam ha'arel." That the Ramban says, "Well, no, that's the way it is. They did tshuva. It might be that they did tshuva, but still, after they did tshuva, they're still going to be brought into. It's still going to be difficult for them." This is an allusion to the fact that he would bring them into the land that is not being conquered by them. But they're going to be enemies there. And it says, that our enemies have heard about it, as described in the beginning of the book of Nehemiah. So in the land is in control of the people, as Ezra said, and it goes and describes the enemies that he's in. Meaning, the Ramban is just saying the reward of you doing tshuva is that you're going to go back to the land of Israel, and it's going to be difficult for you to conquer the land of Israel. That's what's going to be there. Now, the only... That fits. And then you're going to go to the land that's going to be difficult for you to conquer, and then you're going to require further merits in order to conquer the land of Israel. Okay? So that's the Ramban's reach. So three reads, Sforno, Ibn Ezra, and Ramban. Okay, we continue on to Pasuk Membeis. So Membeis is probably the most famous Pasuk of the Tochacha, even though it's not... Well, it's probably not tochcha. How does one read? If it's a chartias brisi Yaakov, afis brisi Yitzchak, afis brisi Avram, etzkor ve'aretz etzkor. We're going to remember the pact of Yaakov, Yitzchak, the pact made with Avram, and we're going to remember the pact with the land. So there's a lot written on this pasuk. Why is it backwards? It's going in backwards order. Another interesting thing is Yaakov. Anybody see anything interesting with the word Yaakov over there? So Yaakov is spelled with an extra vav.
Really?
Yeah. You see that? What do you say? A shuruk?
The shuruk is, I would say it's short.
It's short, yeah. It's long. So Yaakov is spelled long with the extra vav in there. So Rashi makes a comment here and says, yes, laman kamisha makomos nichtav malay. Then there are five places where Yaakov is described as being as full, meaning that the vav is added to the word Yaakov. V'Eliyahu chaser b'chamisha mekamos. And guess what? Eliyahu is written short in five places. You're nodding like you've heard this before. Yeah. So he's missing the vav in five places. So Yaakov natal os mishmo shel Eliyahu arvon. So Yaakov took a letter from Eliyahu's name and sort of held it as a security, sheyavo v'yavaser geulas geulas banav. So that he will, Eliyahu, in order to get your full name back, you better go ahead and do the geula. That's the description here. So it came across from the Sam Sofer, who did I see here? From the Toldos Ephraim. This is a sefer in the Turei Torah. Unless I was looking at it for something else. But in the Turei Torah, he has a comment on here where he says that if one thinks about it, there's five times that Eliyahu comes and saves the day. He describes it five times. One of them is Yericho. The problem is Eliyahu wasn't born yet at the time of Yericho, but Eliyahu and Pinchas are considered like buddies. So Eliyahu is considered
Gilgal.
There it's even more than Nigel. I think the Gemara even has a line that says, Pinchas hu Eliyahu. So even if one's not such a Gilgal person, that certainly has some type of has more of a status. But Berigal Yericha, that he was a spy, and it also says and that's where it is, meaning that's where, actually no. Akaz of Adesenu commanded Amar Pinchas. No, sorry, it doesn't make sense. Okay. All right, B'nai Sekamach, and then there's a couple of other miracles that he did. There's four, so that would come up with four, and then the fifth one is in the future. So there's five specific spots, which is why there's five times that the letter is exchanged. But like the what is the simple pshat in this pasuk? In fact, when one reads this, when you're reading this pasuk, when it's going through the tocha, so the person, the Malkori, is supposed to read everything quick and slowly. And this one, all of a sudden, you hear V'zacharti Esprisi Yitzchak V'yav Esprisi. Sorry, V'si Yaakov V'yav Esprisi Yitzchak. And he does it slow and he does it loudly in order to draw attention to this. It's somewhat of a break from the tocha reading. So there is and what is it? That perhaps we don't deserve to be saved, as we've talked about yesterday. You may not deserve to be saved, but yet Hashem's going to remember the pact. He's going to remember the deal, and we're going to be saved anyways. So there is a reading that and by the way, where does this pasuk, this pasuk is probably the most prominent pasuk of the Tocha. Why? Because it makes it into our liturgy. Anybody know where this pasuk appears in our davening? It's not the daily davening. We don't do it that often, but it's pretty prominent. Think about the word vizacharti. Where would I want to put the word vizacharti in our davening throughout the year? Someplace during the year? It is in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. So the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah has three brachos. Musaf Rosh Hashanah has three brachos in the middle, Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. So this is, I'm not sure, one of the three, and each one of those sections has 10 psukim, three of them from Torah, so this is one of the psukim for Zichronos in the Torah. V'zachart, Yisprisi, Yaakov, Yisprisi, Yisak, Yisprisi, Avram, Eskor, V'yaretz, Eskor. So there is a famous comment that the Shlomo makes, where he says, the Shla says, this pasuk is not a nechama at all. Rather, it is a continuation of the tochacha. Kamo ha-psukim shalafanu v'shalacharav. Just like the psukim before and the psukim afterwards. The tochacha is not over. This is a continuation of the tochacha. How so? Because shekesha kadosh baruch hu maskeres avoseinu Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov misoros midas hadin v'tovas. Because Hashem will think about Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, and the midas hadin will come in with a Taina will come in with a complaint and say, Lama in anu holchim darchi avos of Hakadoshim. Why are they not going like the Heluga Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? They can't claim that they don't have yichus. They can't claim that they don't have good examples. They can't claim that they don't have forefathers. Well, they can. They have three forefathers. But they can't claim that they have... They don't have an excuse. And that's going to add to the tochacha. That's going to add to the rebuke. You came from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and yet you've descended to be so far. Therefore he comes, lidei maskana, ki lo tov osim bali hakriya shemagvim es kolam bekriyas pasuk sesa. Therefore the Shlop Haskins, that what? It's inappropriate for the Chazan to slow down here and to say it louder. He should say this pasuk just like he does the rest of the tochacha as well. Charei hu tochacha kiniska le'el. Aval lefize lo yuvan. He says, I don't understand. I'm reading out of the Iturei Torah. So he continues on and says, but if so, I don't understand. Why do we put this pasuk into Rosh Hashanah davening? Right, the Rosh Hashanah davening is using this as a pasuk of Zichronos. So the Shlah has a nice theory here. Everybody is slowing down and saying this pasuk longer and louder. And the Shlah says you shouldn't do it. That's a wrong minhag. What's the pasuk is a continuation of the tochacha. Okay, meaning I hear he could rail against the minhag, but there's a pasuk. It's written in all the machzorim like this. And I forgot to check if it's in the Gemara or not. The Gemara, that's the way he's quoting. He's quoting it as saying that you can't have a pasuk of poranios, you can't have a pasuk of danger in these psukim. It has to be a pasuk of zechuyos, a pasuk of merit. So why is this in the thing? So he says, look around in the old siddurim, like the siddur of Amram Gon he quotes here, and some other old siddurim he quotes, and the pasuk's not there. It's a different pasuk in there. What pasuk is in there? The pasuk of... In the beginning of Shmos, he says, "V'gam ani shemati es nakas b'nei Yisrael v'eskor es brisi." Hashem says, "I hear the complaints of b'nei Yisrael, and I remember the pact." He says that pasuk is there instead of this. Why don't we change it?
Somebody changed it, right?
Well, who says? I mean, well, it's machlokas. I mean, the Shlosh says that pasuk shouldn't be there, and I found old siddurim that have it this way. But others say, well, we do have this pasuk. Can we read the pasuk differently? It seems like these Rishonim, like the Shluck.
What would be the reason to change it? That's what I'm saying.
It's unclear. You're saying it was changed. Who says it was changed? Meaning, I forget if the Gemara is clearly taught. It clearly gives psukim or not. I don't remember. I think the Gemara might just say you need 10 psukim. So people went through with them. Different people might have come with different pshatim. So whether this pasuk should be in the Zichronos or not, in the Tefillah or not, is reliant on how one reads the pasuk, how pshat the pasuk. Is the pasuk a continuation of the curse, or is the pasuk a continuation, sort of a break of the curse to point out the brachos? There is a along the lines of that minhag. It wasn't read this parsha, it was at the other tochacha. There's a famous story in Rabbi Riskin's book that he tells in the beginning of the book as a young child. So he grew up in Brooklyn, and he used to go on Shabbos sometimes, I can't believe I'm forgetting the name. I just thought about the Kloisenberger Rebbe. The Kloisenberger Rebbe, right. After Rav Halperstam, I forget the name now. The Kloisenberger Rebbe was the Rav in Kloisenberg first. He was in the death camps. I believe he was in Auschwitz and did a lot to keep people's spirits up. And there's a lot of famous stories about him after the death camp, after the Holocaust was over, while everybody was in DP camps of sort of becoming a Rebbe. There's a lot of stories about him. It's very inspiring. He was in Buchenwald, not you just looked it up?
My dad was there.
Your dad was in Buchenwald with him?
My dad met him. He's from the same camp.
Wow.
Yeah.
From Kloisenberg?
Kloisenberg,
yeah. Wow. So your father was a survivor?
My father was a liberator.
Really?
The second day.
Wow. So did he know Rabbi Schachter, Rabbi Herschel Schachter?
He didn't know him at all. I have pictures of him with Rabbi Kloisenberg.
Wow. All right. So one of these, in his uniform?
In uniform, yeah.
Oh, wow. All right. We'll have to do that, share that at some point.
Wait, your father grew up also in Europe?
No, he said his father was in the army.
No, but I thought maybe he also wouldn't know.
No. So I'm glad that phone call came after he told me that story. I'll have to look at some of those pictures. But after the war, so the Kloisenberger Rebbe ended up in Brooklyn for a couple of years. And and it was a little distance away from where young Shlomo Riskin was. So he says he went as a 10, 12-year-old boy. He just went to daven there one day, one Shabbos, and it was Shabbos Parshas Kitavo, which is the other Tochacha, which is the longer Tochacha. And we've told this story here before, I think. But it's worth it to tell again before Tisha B'Av. So as he is, so the Chazan gets up to Tochacha and starts reading it fast and low. And the Rebbe is sitting in the front, and he faces the minhag in Chassidish shuls is that the Rebbe would faces forward, being in most our shuls are up, right? So the Rebbe is sort of faces forward. He kind of has like his own booth. Did the Lubavitcher Rebbe face forward? Do you know?
The
Lubavitcher Rebbe faced the klal?
I think so. That's opposite.
Yeah, that makes.
I'm
wondering if the Rebbe did this or not, but you know, many Hasidic Rebbes have the practice of facing forward. So he starts leaning to face the wall, to face the Aron, that his seat faced forward as opposed to the back. So the person started leaning, and all of a sudden they heard the Rebbe say, he thinks he heard the Rebbe say, slow down. I mean, say it loudly. Or slow down. He said, slow down. I mean, he was doing Tolcha fast, and like the Valkyrie stops for a second. He's like, what? Yeah, like he figures he must have heard something wrong, and he just continues on. And the Rebbe said, slow down. And he you know, everyone like kind of stops for a second. He's not sure what to do. And the Rebbe turned around and said, I want you to slow down. So he continues on to the end. So he does it. And he does it in the regular voice. And the Rebbe turns around to them and says, you know, we do this fast because we want to avoid the curses. But we just all experienced the curses. We just all had it. And it should stand as edus, it should stand as testimony that we are now ready to go to Eretz Yisrael, and that's what we're doing. We're all going to Eretz Yisrael. And that's it. Within a few months, that entire group had made Aliyah. The Kloisenberger Rebbe settled in Netanya, I believe, and did a lot to build up there. That's a wild story, a wild Tolka story. Okay. Suggest... Yes, there is a reason. I've come up with a few pshatim along the way, but I don't have one off the top of my head to share right now. One more piece over the course of this tocha. We have a few moments left, but the very, very famous Meshech Chachma appears over the course of this parsha as well, where he describes the Galus as a long essay. The Meshech Chachma lived in, he died, I believe, in 1931, 32. In fact, hanging in my office in Shul, I don't know why, I just found this once, I found it was interesting, found an obituary in the New York Times for the Meshech Chachma, for Meir Simcha of Dvinsk. Just, yeah, I found it fascinating, so I put it on the wall. He wrote the Meshech Chachma, which is mostly a commentary on the Parsha, but here, over the course of the Tochacha, he goes into a pretty long dissertation of Yafkam Zos Biosim Beres Eveyem, you're going to be in the land, and you're not going to destroy the Bris, Ani Hashem. And he goes through and describes that, that it's true, that I will not, I won't destroy the Bris, etc., but he says, you will find a similar pattern that's going to develop. So you're going to have a gullus, you're going to have exiled, and you're going to go into a new land, and people are going to be there, and they're going to be bereft of Torah mitzvos. And then they'll build it up, they'll build themselves up. The learning will begin, and they'll build up an infrastructure in that place. And then he has and the Yiddishkeit will live. And he has the most famous line that he has here is, and Yachshuv ki Berlin hi Yerushalayim. And people are going to think of Berlin as being Yerushalayim. What? He said this in the 20s or so. People are going to say to the land of, and then he says, in Az Yavo Ruach Soed Visa'ar Yakor Oso Megazu Yanichul Agai Mirachu Kashalol Lamad Lashon, etc. And then in will come a wild storm that's going to wipe all of you out. So that is the famous Meshech Chachma. Many point out that the Meshech Chachma really is patterning himself after a statement in the Sma. Von Lux in the Art Scroll Kinos on the Kino about the Crusades. Yeah, in the Kino about the Crusades, so it describes, it quotes, he has a whole that has a long essay about this topic, and he points back to the Sma. The Sma himself wrote that why is it that Germany was so destroyed during the Crusades? Because when there were letters that were sent out, I mean, we think of all the Jews going to Babel. Not all the Jews went to Babel. Some Jews went to Europe. There were Jews. There was a real exile after the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash. So there were Jews in Europe. So the legend has it is that when they went back to rebuild the second Beis Hamikdash, he sent a letter to Germany and said, why don't you come back? We're rebuilding the Beis Hamikdash. And they wrote back famously, or infamously, writing, you'll build your big Jerusalem and we'll stay in our little Jerusalem. So that's the source for this line of the Meshech Chach, where they're going to think about Berlin, he Yerushalayim.
And, what year, time frame was that?
That was in the year 300 BCE. That first one is, right? So after the Crusades, they wrote, why did this happen in Germany? And they wrote by saying that, some people wrote that because Germany was known for saying, you stay there, we'll be here, and we'll do what we can from here. So that's what the Meshech Chachma invokes, that people will consider Berlin to be Yerushalayim, or wherever they are, they'll consider their Gullus to be the Yerushalayim. And then as soon as they do that, so that's already the beginning of the end. That one can never go. You do whatever you can wherever you are to build up whatever is necessary, but never forget that where you are is not Yerushalayim. There's only one Yerushalayim. We'll be able to go back and hear you. May not be.
When did they say the three major sins?